Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings, also writes for the Wealth Wave website, which we will link below. Now, Sean, there's a lot for us to talk about because, well, volatility continues in these markets based a lot on these back and forth war headlines. War fears are clearly here with commodities really being the benefactor. Broadly, it's safe haven assets that have gotten a buy, but commodities have continued to spike, and we'll move through a couple different commodity sectors, starting off with gold, though, because gold has pulled back a little bit from its highs today, but boy, oh boy, it was just on a tear this morning. Gold is currently trading about 2,031, but that is off of highs that was just short of 2,080. Now, again, a lot of these moves are on the back of war fears, but it's also this momentum play that has definitely picked up steam, and that's what traders are looking for, is momentum. Gold hasn't really had this sort of momentum till that last run higher that ended and then resulted in about a 1.5 year correction. Sean, what do you take away from gold continuing to benefit from these war fears and now over 2,000?
Yeah, well, it's a really nice move. I just wish it was reflected in the gold mining stocks more. They have had a nice run. I mean, I'm not going to complain about the gains we have. But, you know, I mean, when you see the gold miners head up in the morning and then turn around and, like, you know, move a bit lower in the afternoon, pretty much all of them, like I was telling you, you know, before we went on the air, I just want to go around punching gold miners in the face. Not the miners themselves, but the companies, just because it ticks me off. Because this is a great environment for gold, but what many of us have been saying is, why did it take so long? I mean, we're in an inflationary environment anyway. And so really, we should have seen gold move ahead of this. I do believe that it's what's going on with, like, Russia and Ukraine, and also threats to the global, I want to say the global economy more than the financial system. We have to talk about nickel at some point and how nickel went up 250%. On the London Metals Exchange, and they said, okay, that's it. We're not trading nickel anymore. It's like, are you kidding me? And, like, that was yesterday. They aren't trading it today. The last time they had a problem like this, and I'm sorry, I will get back to gold, but the last time they had a problem like this was something called the tin crisis, which you guys should look up. And when that happened, they stopped trading tin for 4 years. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with nickel, but we have precedents for them not trading a contract for quite some time until they can actually sort it out. And that's a threat to the global economy, because nickel is used in so many things, from steel to you name it. In fact, I think it was JP Morgan, but I can't remember who it was, said the surge that we saw in nickel in that one day is enough to add $1,000 to the cost of every electric vehicle sold. That's how big of a move it was. And so when you have a stress like that in the global system, I think that's what starts to make gold more attractive. I believe that's why gold is moving the way it is. We've had the war for a while, you know, and gold was edging up, but it wasn't really doing much. We've had inflation, you know, and gold just shrugged that off. And so really it's like the economic unbalances that are kind of going through here that really makes gold shine as a safe haven. I expect more bullishness in gold. I expect more bullishness in those dang gold miners, as much as I'm hating on them right now. So, you know, this is a time to maybe pick some things up if there's something you wanted to own. The larger stocks will always get the attraction from Wall Street. That's one thing that kind of grinds at my guts, because the real bargains are the much smaller stocks, but Wall Street doesn't care. So, to ride the immediate shocks, look at the larger stocks, but definitely pick out those nice small ones that you know have some real potential down the road. I don't think gold's story is over at all. If, let's say it's a 9-inning ball game, what inning are we in now? 4, 5? We have a long way to go on this. And so I think things will be very bullish for gold, despite the fact that the miners aren't reflecting what's going on in the metals today.
Well, Sean, just to take a different track on it, is it possible that gold was sniffing out the inflation when all the money printing was going on, you know, during the pandemic, and that's why it had the big run in 2019 and 2020, and then it had to digest that massive move up where we did see the miners start to perform, But I agree with you that it kind of sucked wind the last 18 months in the precious metal sector, especially in the miners. And many have pointed out that they really underperformed expectations about where they would be at these higher metal prices. But now it seems like recently gold is sniffing out a larger trend higher, where a lot of people were expecting it to go up just because of the Fed rate hikes and just because of inflation. It finally is catching up based on this Ukraine, but it may be a little stickier this time. And it may just be that there hasn't been enough time for the gold stocks to really process these big moves higher because it is gapping up each day. Maybe there will be a follow through in the miners. Are you hopeful that we'll see the gold miners do a nickel? I saw a meme out yesterday that says, come on, gold miners, do a nickel. So is it possible that we'll see that catch up in the mining space that we just haven't digested this move higher yet?
Well, it is possible, but that's not the things I'm counting on most immediately. For example, in Gold and Silver Trader yesterday, I made a recommendation that's much more leveraged to nickel, palladium, and the platinum group metals. And in Supercycle Investor today, I also recommended a company that has lots of nickel exposure, and that's from producing nickel. So I think in the shorter term, we are going to see other metals move. And a lot of this comes back to Russia. It's what Russia exports to the world. I had a WealthWave article, I think it was last week, might have been 2 weeks ago, actually, with a chart that I think I picked up from Bloomberg, or it also could have been CNBC. God knows, everyone's writing about this stuff, right? But showing the like percent of world supply of all this different stuff that comes from Russia. And nickel and palladium are very heavily from Russia. And if you can't ship that out, and the palladium from Russia travels by plane, that's already closed down. They can't ship out any more palladium anymore. That's the stuff where we're going to see the more short-term impact. Longer term, I am expecting more movement in gold, but I'm also expecting move in like agriculture. Because between Russia and the Ukraine, they own of the world's grain exports. And no one's expecting anything from Ukraine this year, because with the invasion, everybody's fighting. No one's in the fields, except for those farmers who are using their tractors to steal tanks, and good for them. But there's a lot of things that will go higher. We already knew we were in a commodity bull market, and certainly what's going on in Ukraine with Russia, that kind of stuff, that really seems to be just pumping the gas on this. And like, we could also talk about oil too. But I mean, that's really revving up the commodity bull market that was already in place. So it's going to be all kinds of commodities, really, that probably do very well.
Now, is that something that the gold bugs need to realize, is that, yes, gold's going up, but it's also in this wider picture of other commodities moving higher? And quite frankly, as well as gold has done, other commodities have also outperformed gold. But that's also a function of what gold is supposed to be, as a relatively safer investment, especially in confusing and trying times. But again, you look at oil, you look at what nickel has done. Copper's even at all-time highs and keeps pushing higher. Is there a fact here where we need to realize that it's the whole commodity complex running, and that's why money might be a little bit more spread out, and maybe it isn't trickling into some of these stocks?
Maybe, and that's actually a really good point. One more thing that I would point out that we have to deal with now is all of the cryptocurrencies. They are sucking in speculative funds, and we had a pullback in them recently. And so I think some people might be trying to pick up the bargains they've always been looking for in either Bitcoin or Ethereum or something. So there are more places for money to go. And when people are looking for opportunities, they are going to look beyond, you know, what we were looking at even 10 years ago. There's a lot out there. Now, me, I'm a hard asset guy, and I'll keep sticking with it. It's working very well for us. You know, I have no complaints about this market at all. Thank God we're not invested in tech. Can you imagine? God, that would suck. I mean, and I feel bad. I feel bad for anyone who's like really focused on the tech market and the tech stocks, because for a long time, many of us said, you know, these things are not worth the multiples that you guys are paying. And they kept talking about, oh, but the future, and the future, it'll do this, and the future will do that. all the future's here, and it kind of sucks for those stocks right now. So we are in a we're in a market where it seems certain areas will do really well, and I'd say areas connected to hard commodities should do very well. Other ones that are more tech-focused or even consumer discretionary, right? Because that's going to get hammered by inflation. You know it is. So consumer discretionary, which was doing pretty well last year, could get taken to the woodshed this year. We're going to see money move around to all different sort of places. So, yeah, definitely you want to be nimble. You don't want to be really married to too much of anything. You have to be ready to move things around because, you know, things could change next week.
Well, Sean, you bring up a good point there with a lot of the, let's say, the newly minted investors over the last couple of years that got in the markets. They got into those growth stocks and tech stocks and cryptos and meme stocks and just all the EV companies and spaceships to Mars companies. And all of these things didn't have earnings yet. And it was to the moon until it wasn't. And a lot of that capital has now been destroyed. And so with this advent of the commodity sector in general going higher, do you think that there's going to be a shift in focus from some generalists where they start realizing, you know, I didn't have any exposure to wheat. I didn't have any exposure to corn or to sugar. I didn't have any exposure to oil, to gold, to silver, to palladium, to nickel, to copper. Maybe this will actually bring in some new investors to the commodity space that before had maybe shunned it for tech. Do you think that we'll maybe see a new generation of commodities investors?
Well, if people were smart, that would happen. But sometimes people aren't smart. I saw a Bank of America analyst. She was on Bloomberg TV this morning, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but she kind of represents, if like what she's saying is the truth, the mood on Wall Street, which is that people didn't want to buy oil stocks because of ESG issues. Hey, I'm as concerned about the environment as anybody else. That never stopped me from buying oil stocks, and that hasn't stopped me from recommending oil and gas stocks to my subscribers for quite some time. We're making a lot of money. It boggles my mind that anyone on Wall Street wouldn't buy oil and gas stocks due to environmental concerns. Are you kidding? Are you in the business of making money or not? It's not like we get to run the environment. That's not the thing that we're in charge of. What we're in charge of is if we can make money. So maybe you're right. Maybe people on Wall Street will actually wise up to this stuff. And yes, you know what? Maybe oil as an industry has peaked or is close to peaking, but it's going to be around for a long, long time. We're going to have gas-guzzling cars and trucks for a long, long time. It's not going away. And so when there are investment opportunities, and you know what? Despite the fact that oil's run up so much, I just recommended another oil stock to subscribers because I think it has some particular advantages that I don't want to get too deep in the weeds in. But there are plenty of opportunities out there. You just have to open up your mind to them. I couldn't believe it when that Bank of America analyst said, well, you know, people don't like oil stocks. And they're what people? And they're shouting at the TV. What people don't like oil stocks? What is wrong with you people? So maybe you're right. Maybe they'll start to come around, change their minds. We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, we will. But I think, Sean, you know just as well as anybody that there are funds out there. There are pools of money that are dedicated to sectors outside of oil. And that money, boy, I've seen it run up other companies just because it fits the policies of those funds to invest and put that capital to work. You mentioned oil, how it might be topping here. Maybe we'll find a top fairly soon, but you're recommending companies. Where are you looking for value in these oil companies? Because yeah, oil has screamed higher. A lot of companies have done well too. Where do you find the sweet spot in some oil companies?
Well, the one I found today was in Canada, and I actually started, not to toot our own horn, Weiss Ratings has a nice system which rates stocks according to both their like safety and also how much opportunity we see into them due to a whole bunch of like black box things. Hey, anyone likes safety in this market, right? This market's scaring the bejesus out of people. And like, also if you can find opportunity ranking, stuff like that. So I use the Weiss Ratings, and they just brought a stock to my attention. Once I looked at it and I said, yeah, you know what? These oil sands really are underpriced when you consider what they get paid for what they're pumping out and stuff right now. There's some real opportunities there. So, I'm not saying people have to use the like Weiss Ratings, but it's not a bad tool, especially if you're looking for ideas, and you're hesitant to pull the trigger on an oil stock when oil's over 120, and I understand that. I really do. But if at the same time you're thinking, you know what, my portfolio could use some more oil exposure, that might be a place where you want to start, just to get some ideas on like things you can actually do. And of course, things can go wrong. We all know that. Who knows? Maybe peace will break out in the Ukraine tomorrow. That's not my opinion. I believe that we're in for a long grind there. I don't believe that, for example, Putin's actually being truthful when he says he was just worried about Ukraine joining NATO. I believe he wants the old Russian Empire, the one that stretched all the way from like Mongolia to Persia. That's what he wants. And Ukraine is like one of the jewels in the crown. And so I think that's what he's after. Now, maybe there'll be enough external pressure to actually turn him back this time, but I believe that's his longer-term goal. He wants to be the next czar. And so, to me, that kind of tells me that this thing isn't going to end next week, which some people seem to be hoping. This war is going to drag on for a while. We're going to see pressures in industrial metals, in energy, in agriculture. These pressures will continue. And so there's opportunities to really make a lot of money in those things.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's wondering when this war is going to end. Hopefully it does end sooner than it sounds like you think it will, Sean. But then everyone's wondering where some of these sectors revert to. What is the value of these commodities or even the markets when this war is finally behind us? But undoubtedly, well, we're going to see more and more volatility until that time. Sean, thank you, as always, for sharing your thoughts with us, buddy. We'll chat with you in another 2 weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. You have a great one, too.